From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Don Smythe works for the U.S. Post Office, and in the interest of full disclosure, I see him regularly because I am a post office addict, and I've seen your customer service relationships and just who you are as a person, and so I wanted to bring you in and get some of your background. So thank you so much for being on the Oregon Grapevine.
No problem, Barb.
Let's just start there. Kids say, I want to grow up and be a plumber. I want to grow up and be a doctor. I don't think you probably grew up and said you wanted to work at the post office.
No, to be honest, I really wasn't even sure. I kind of, when I was younger, started going down the wrong path. And luckily, I had a very determined father who had also brought me into search and rescue since I was a small child. He retired from the Monterey County Sheriff's Department, was head of the mountain and dive rescue team. So whenever his pager would go off, he'd wake me up, hey, you want to go on rescue? Sure, and I'd sit in his truck while they dropped him out of a helicopter. And, you know, or a fire somewhere out in Big Sur, California. That's what kind of brought me back in. And then I went into search and rescue myself.
And with, I think, the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so any stories that come to mind, like any visions that come to mind, anything you think about as you think about your life as a Coast Guard person, how long was that?
So I was in for just about nine years in the Coast Guard. Loved every minute of it. Quite a few stories. Being dropped into pools of sharks in Puerto Rico, you name it, all sorts of stuff. I broke my back and had my arm basically torn off, pulling somebody out of the water. And so that's part of the reason why I'm not in anymore. It does take a toll on your body, for sure. But I do miss it all the time.
And do you miss, I mean, it sounds like it's partly thrilling, but I imagine there were also parts that were not so much.
There always is. It's the biggest thing about it is knowing that you know what to do when the time comes. And I've been out since July of 2000, and I've still had to use my training. There was a little girl in Springfield, her name is Maddie, that I was called to the scene because I lived right around the corner. She got hit by a car, thrown about 30 feet, and I was able to bring her back to life before the medic showed up. And she's still a huge part of my life. So it's situations like that I mean, I do regret not being in the Coast Guard anymore. However, my training is still there, and it does not die.
And to just backtrack for a second, mm-hmm. You were called. So somehow, even though you're not in the Coast Guard, you're on some kind of a list or people know that
no.
You're trained?
No, a friend of mine was two cars ahead of the girl that got hit and witnessed it and called me knowing that I was right around the corner. So while everybody else was calling 911, they called me, and I jumped up, didn't even put shoes on, and took off.
So you went from the Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard a backstory because we have a mutual kind of acquaintance in town who said something about you being a bodyguard.
Yes.
So what's that story? For whom were you a bodyguard and how did that happen?
So my dad, being in law enforcement, he's got several connections. One of them had a business down in California and they brought me in for major events. So I was running bodyguard for Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ray Romano, the CEO of Lamborghini, Ferrari, and Bentley. And that was basically when events would come in. And I started with the post office down there, and I was still doing the bodyguard business on my time off. So when an event would come, I'd take some time off of the post office and drive around in a Bentley with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Did you talk to him much? Is he a nice guy?
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. He was actually really nice. I did have one incident with him where we were walking downtown Carmel, and he was looking for a cashmere shop of some sort. And as he walks from shop to shop, I'm with him. And, you know, the first store you go by, people are like, oh, my gosh, I think that's him. The next store, people start to get braver and walk in. By the third store, they were all trying to bump up and rub up against him, and that's when I just started picking people up and throwing them out of the store, including the owner of the store. I put her back. But
well, that was nice of you.
It was kind of funny when you have Arnold Schwarzenegger say, well, nobody's going to mess with me with my bodyguard around. And I asked him, I said, really? Because your bicep is the size of my head. I don't think you really need me, but thank you.
And it sounds like you got to drive cool cars.
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of my coworkers at the Carmel Post Office started calling me, what was it, Easy Money? Because I would pull up in a Lamborghini, you know, to swing in and pick up my paycheck and go back out to the car show.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So the post office.
Yes.
A place where all kinds of things happen. We were talking before the interview started about mm-hmm. the fact that, of course, there's conversation about the post office dying and there's not going to be one and a lot of rural ones close. And at the same time, a lot of mail, a lot of documents still arrive and depend upon the post office.
Mm-hmm.
So how does, from an employee's point of view, how does that kind of angst, as it were, work? I mean, you know, it's, are you, not specifically personally, are you going to lose your job, but as you kind of see people come in and they get frustrated and mailboxes get wrecked and you have to deal with the issue of is there even a future? How does that work?
I can't comment too much on what the potential for the post office is going to be. I do see a lot of changes, and it's hard because when you're in an environment and that environment is changing, of course, it's going to be intimidating, worrisome. You know, is my job okay? I feel my job is fine. Does the post office need to go through some changes? Absolutely. You know, I hear stories all the time about a company that put all their eggs into one basket and that basket collapsed and you're done. So if you don't change and you don't migrate, you die. So I think that's what they're trying to do at best right now. It's hard to say because I do my job and I take care of my customers, and that's what I love the most, and that's why I've been in that same exact spot for so long.
I was going to ask you about that. You mm-hmm. know, customer service is an art, really, and some people are good at it, and some people learn to be good at it, and you're pretty amazing.
At the
South Eugene Post Office, you know, a lot of people know who you are, and you seem to know who a bunch of people are. Is that something that came naturally for you? Have you always kind of been that way with people, or have you grown into
it? I've always been pretty much an extrovert on stuff like that. I used to work for Schwann's, the home delivery of food. I don't know if you remember that or not. But we come to your house once every 2 weeks, and I had 5 minutes to sit in there, take your order, get to know you, say hi, see how the kids are doing, know what ice cream the kids like so I can suggest it to you. And all that's just kind of built up to how I am, you know. And, I mean, it started way before that, but that was just, you know, one of the jobs that I had before the post office. And so with the post office, it gives me that same ability. You know, I know you don't want to stand there and talk to me all day, but I know a lot about you, Barb. And I know a lot about a lot of my customers. And we don't stand there and chat for an hour. It's just to make that connection and get you what you need and let you leave with a smile on your face.
And I'm more demanding than some.
There are some.
So I thank you for that.
Sure.
How about in terms of mailing weird stuff? Have you had to kind of deal with someone coming in and mailing something that maybe is not the easiest thing to mail?
I have had a few. I'm not a fan personally of people that like to mail bees. When you get a box that's buzzing and humming, I just know that there's one hole that I missed on that box. We've had, at South Eugene, we had a baby peacock get loose and flying through the lobby that all of us were trying to catch. A little daughter wanted to pop open the window and feed it some mealworms, and it shot right out of there. We've had all sorts of crazy things. I mean, when you get a coconut with a stamp on it, you know, it's just, there's a lot of interesting ones.
This is a personal anecdote, but I mm-hmm. have a large elephant that my father got in Vietnam. And when he got it, ceramic, it's large.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, he just slapped the label over the thing and it got there completely safely. And instead of being in a box where it might have broken. Okay, so you can send
times
a coconut,
But times have changed so much now. Like, you used to be able to just put stamps on something and drop it in the mail. Problem is too many people over time have learned to use the Postal Service for bad things, so they have to slowly evolve and change those rules. And we're coming into a lot of that right now, just some of the stuff that was mailed to political figures or what have you. So now you can't really do that. You have to bring it into us so we can pre-investigate about the package to make sure that we deem it safe to go in the mail.
I would like to talk delve into a little more about customer service and kind of how that works. Because, of course, again, naturally some people are good at it, some people necessarily aren't good at it. But how does that work in terms of you and your coworkers, or as you see the kind of system? I don't go to other post offices in Eugene as much. I always go to post offices in other towns. And is there an emphasis in terms of, no, you just need to get the job done? Or do they try to say, no, actually, there you have to do a little creative thinking?
No, to be honest, it's all us. Yeah, what you see at the window counter, it is nobody pushing us. It is, if we get a complaint, they come and talk to us about it, but they really don't mess with us up at the windows very much. Their main focus is about the carriers and getting them out the door and all that stuff. As long as we don't piss too many people off, they're fine with what we do.
And have you had to kind of be a counselor for some people who've shown up and really been kind of over the edge?
Oh, gosh, yes. I've been through many situations, you know, where I've been there through people's births, through their deaths, divorces, you name it. And you end up basically trying what you can to make that day's that person's day brighter, you know, in whatever way you can. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's just a sucker that I buy that I have on the counter that you can see lift somebody up. But, yeah, there's a lot of counseling that goes on with it.
There, it's amazing to me that you can put a little piece of paper in a box and it's going to end up somewhere far away. To me, that's the best.
It still amazes me. It really does. And that's part of the reason why I feel that I'm good at my job, because I love my job. And I'm still astounded by what the Postal Service can do. Like you said, for 80 cents, you get a piece of mail from here to New York in 3 days. That's pretty epic. Yep. You know, and then I deal with the customers and all their stuff throughout the day. And I mean, that sounds like a great day for anybody.
What inspires you to keep going in terms of just saying, you know what, I haven't had enough, or yeah, I want to keep going.
I love it. I love what I do. I honestly do. I love my customers, even the difficult ones. I have no problem throwing you out of the post office today and then chatting you up and handing you a lollipop tomorrow. It's, you know, because part of the thing is I don't know what you're going through that day. So none of it is taken personally by me. So if you come in and you're, and I've had so many people come in the next day, 2 days later, and say, hey, I'm really sorry. I was in a bad space, you know, and I'm like, it's all right. No big deal. Didn't. Made my day a little bit more exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm glad you're doing better. So that's the drive, whether you got the good and bad, but none of it's really bad. It's just something else that happened today. And I love my job and I love showing up to it.
What else do you do in your life that you love?
I'm big into building, design, gardening, working in the yard. Right now, my wife and I are working on building a boulder garden for our front yard, which is fun. We built a house and we designed the house ourselves. So anything with building, design, I love. Getting my hands dirty. We love going to sporting events. We're season ticket holders for duck football as well as women's volleyball. One of my wife's biggest favorite things is goat trails, is what I call them. You know, just getting in the truck and driving. And when you see a dirt road, you just turn. I don't know where it goes. I don't know where it's going to come out, but we'll see. And so we love just getting in the car. We call it turning left. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm turning left. See where it takes me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate what you're doing and the fact that there are people out there who get to experience you at the post office. And if you need a stamp, I recommend going to South Eugene and looking Dawn up.
I do have the best stamps in town. I'm not going to lie.
You do have good stamps. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dawn.
Absolutely, Barb.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.